Good morning and welcome to Edge Got In, our October Bible study. And we are very excited, Dr. Estella and I are very excited about this topic because it literally comes from boots on the ground training within our own lives and something that requires daily attentiveness in order to be able to master giving the spirit more authority than the flesh. And that's the topic of today's Bible study, how to give the spirit more authority than the flesh. So in this study, we're going to be addressing a few powerful scriptures that back this up, this invitation up, as well as talking about specific techniques and methods that we use personally to help us flip out of those fleshly flare-ups and to really stay in the spirit, give the spirit more authority than those momentary flare-ups of the flesh, which have many different shapes, sizes, and colors. And that's for darn sure. So let me just encourage you guys to download on edgegotin.com. We have the Bible study guide. You can access that on the main page and download study guide. Once you do that, you'll see the monthly Edge, and it's October, and the Edge Got In scriptures. And so this morning, if you have a pen and paper, let me share with you the three scriptures that we're choosing this morning that back up our theme, how to give the spirit more authority than the flesh. So the first scripture that we have is actually from Romans. It's a very popular one, one that I've been mulling over my entire life. Romans 7, verses 15 through 25. That's Romans 7, verses 15 through 25. And this scripture says, "I don't understand what I do, for what I want to do I do not do, but what I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is, it is no longer I myself who do it, but is the sin living within me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, my sinful nature, or the flesh, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I can't carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sinful sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I desire to do what is good. My inner being, I desire to delight in God's law. But I see another law that is working in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law." Key point there, waging war against my mind, the serpents of the mind, "at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." That's the first one. The second one is from Galatians. Remember the mind. The mind is key, because we'll refer back to that in terms of the battleground, the ring of life exists within the mind. So James 4, 13 through 17. James 4, 13 through 17. And this goes along with the flesh. The flesh likes to assume and expect. The flesh also experiences a sense of entitlement and that it's owed something. Somebody owes me something, or this is going to turn out for me. And it's making those assumptions and expectations versus living in the foundation of humility. So from James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17, this is how we ought to live. "Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to this city or spend a year there or carry on business and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do it and doesn't do it sins." So that's making the assumptions and expectations. Another pastime of the flesh, that I assume life's going to show up for me this way. The last scripture is Galatians 5, 16 through 26. And this is a powerful one because it lays out exactly what's going on here. And it's an invitation, as we're making today, to live life by the Spirit. So this again is Galatians 5, verses 16 through 26. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature, or the flesh. They are in conflict with one another, so that you do not do what you want, as we read in Romans chapter 7. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So here's the high noticing. You can recognize the space of the flesh or the sinful nature. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh, the sinful nature, with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. So that concludes the three main verses that I have. Dr. Stella, you've got some rocking verses as well on the topic.
Those are right on, and I think that one of the things that I'd like to get people to understand is Ephesians, which is one of my favorite scriptures, 6:12 talks about our struggle with the flesh. You know, and he talks about, God says, remember, you struggle against flesh and blood, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the evil one and the dark one, the wickedness of the world. We constantly are in battle with our flesh, and we have to understand that, and we have to understand that Satan knows that, and he's going to take advantage of it. So I love Ephesians 6:12. I think if we realize that and we understand that, and if we live by the Spirit, then we're right on. Then the other one is our authority. You know, Jesus gave us authority to do a lot of things. We have a lot of power. He gave us authority to cast out demons. Mark 1:27 talks about that. He gave us authority in the spoken word in Matthew 8:16. He gave us authority to heal the sick in Luke 7:7. So we have authority over a lot of this stuff in the world that plagues us. And you had mentioned, Lauren, how, you know, all these things that are in the flesh that we do, all the sins that we do, adultery, fornication, all these things that we do that are sinful, we have the power over that. If we live by the Spirit. And I think that's what we want to get you to understand that, you know, and it takes, the only way you're going to get close to the Spirit is getting into His Word. Because His Word is what is, you know, it's Him. He tells you how to do that. But if you try to live your life in a silo or living on the fact that you are born again, but you're not nourishing your soul and your spirit, then you're going to fail. So those are the ones that I have. You know, I think that we really need to realize what we're in battle. And I think that people don't realize it, but we're in more of a battle today than we were yesterday. Every day we're closer. We know not the time or the hour. He says that in the scripture, the Son of Man will come. But we also know that as we progress in this world called, this thing called life, we get closer to that time and hour. And some of the signs are starting to show that.
I love what you said before in terms of laying out the first few scriptures that we talked about kind of gives us the template of what's going on, because high noticing gives us the opportunity to identify and adjust our stance and our position. Remember this in Taekwondo, that in the ring, you would the first thing that you're aware of is that eye focus, the focus of understanding the ways of your opponent. And high noticing of just as quickly as possible do an inventory of what exactly is going on, because then that empowers you to be able to make the appropriate moves for success. So it's the same thing in the spiritual ring. But a key component here that you're bringing up is the fact that we've been granted authority, and the greatest leaders grant authority and trust the execution. And so to be able to know that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, any time that Jesus approached, something in the flesh, whatever it was, something that had a stronghold that got a hold of people that were causing them to compromise their highest spiritual expression in the world, he would literally call them, call it out. Many times with the demons, he would say, "What is your name?" So specificity is very, very important in
right.
terms of, is it envy, as we read? Is it envy? Is it selfish ambition? Is it witchcraft? Is it hatred? Is it jealousy, dissension, ambition, selfish ambition? Whatever it is, that's why the scriptures from Galatians 5:16 through 26 gives us such a great specificity around calling things out by name. I see you, and I give more authority to you, God. I see you. This is an impure thought. I see you. As quickly as possible, call it out all day long. I'm calling myself out because the devil prowls around like a roaring lion. And as soon as we turn to Christ, it flips. But oftentimes we'll muck around in that the place of the flesh because it's familiar or because it gives us a false sense of control over a situation, which again...
And it's a stronghold against this too. And we also are not honest with ourselves a lot of times because and we're shameful.
Absolutely.
We're prideful and shameful. And so we need to understand that we know what our weaknesses are. We know where that area of temptation is. I always say, there are certain things that I know are a temptation to me, so I stay away from them and pray against those because I do not want to fall prey to that. And we had had that talk, Lauren and I talked about that in one of our Bible studies. Please listen to those about, you know, that fame game thing. You know, if that's
The fame game, the shiny objects. Yeah, I want to be seen, acknowledged, recognized.
That's something that you know that you have a tendency to fall short in short of the glory of God being in that fame game. And you need to work toward praying against it and calling it out. Be honest. Be honest about what your problem is. And he'll make a way to tame that.
As quickly as possible with any 12-step program, the first step toward healing is a valiant honesty. Valiant honesty. My name is Lauren, and this is the deal. I'm in an envious situation right now. I'm in a jealous situation right now. I'm in a place where I'm having greed or judgment, whatever it is. Just simply know that you have the opportunity to call yourself out and use the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's why I love those scriptures, Stella, because it really gives us that remembrance. God, Jesus granted us authority. We have authority over the flesh.
We
forget that we've been given that. We've been given that power.
I love also the fact that you said be specific, because a lot of times people will tell you this all the time. God likes you to be specific. He tells you to be specific about your wants, needs, your desires, what your problems. Be specific. He's a specific God. He's an orderly God. So if you're specific about your area of need and you're specific of authority, that you have power over that. If you're specific to say, I have power over you, Satan, I am not going to let envy come into my life. I am not going to let jealousy come into my life.
That's exactly it.
I'm not going to let sexual
promiscuity or whatever it
whatever
is.
Whatever you are, I don't know what it is. I'm not going to let that in my life. Then Jesus hears that, and he's going to let you have the authority that he gave you. He says in, I think it was in Matthew 28:28, and Jesus spoke over the earth saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. So realize, he has power, even though Satan is messing around down here. Jesus Christ has power in heaven and earth. Remember that.
It's so powerful to remember that authority that we have, as well as that specificity when we call ourselves out, because it's really humbling. When my people humble themselves before me, kneel and pray, I will heal their land. And this can be the whole land or your individual territory inside your castle. I will heal your land when you humble yourself. And part of that process of choosing to give more authority to the Spirit, the first element is humility. And valiant honesty. My name's Lauren, and this is the deal. I'm hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Perhaps I'm in the halt, and that makes me more vulnerable to the things of the flesh. So I'm going to call this out and also claim that victory. The other thing that came up for me, Stella, when you were saying that, is simply to remember what Jesus said when you ask. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will knock. Whenever you seek, ask, knock, the door will be open. And we're reminded in the New Testament as well that when you ask, don't ask to spend on your own pleasures. But when you ask for the things of God, have confidence you will receive them. So when you read through Galatians chapter 5, particularly 22 through 26, those are the things of God. Whenever you ask with confidence, instead of this temptation, I choose love. Instead of this situation of lack and scarcity, I choose the grace of joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. These are the things that when you ask for them, they will literally be poured into your lap. And I say this with confidence because I've been given plenty of opportunity to practice this every single day in Earth School. So it's just a matter of what is your choice and choose with confidence. This is what I want. I want the ways of God. And to call it out, whatever the flesh is spinning you in, call it out as quickly as possible with specificity around that which is spinning your flesh.
One of the things I think, too, I love a couple of things. First of all, I love the fact that his scriptures tells us to get on our knees because I think that sometimes we forget that humility and that closeness to God comes a lot of times when we are to our knees. I mean, when we are on our knees, we're opening up and we're saying, Lord, please take this. Take this. Mm-hmm. Let me give me the power. Get on your knees. Take some time to do that. I had a sister the other day talk to me about, you know, I pray all the time, but for some reason God got me out of my bed in the middle of the night and got me on my knees, and he gave me the greatest work that he wanted me to do, and she's been so powerful since then. He put her to her knees. You know, I think that's so important. I think also...
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to jump in with that verse from Chronicles. This might be helpful to listeners today. Write down 2 Chronicles 7:14 because this is the one that we're referencing here. That from 2 Chronicles 7:14. Then, if my people who are called by my name and you are called by his name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and restore their land. This is what he did to the woman caught in adultery. This is what he did to the man who was cheating people out of hundreds and hundreds of dollars. This is what he did to the woman who was living a life that was lost and called her back, and the man that was possessed by a demon. This is what he did. He forgave and healed. And once that healing takes place, that's like making... literally preparing your land for the spirit. That is like preparing the land for the elements for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Preparing the land for the spirit versus fueling the land with the things of the flesh, which ends up in thorns and dissatisfaction and envy and hatred and anger and lack of peace and purpose.
And I think we also have to have faith that God's going to do that. Romans 3:22 talks about, you know, the righteousness given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Mm-hmm. You know, so we need to make sure that we understand that, have the faith that God's going to get. Once you're on your knees and you've humbled yourself and you've asked him, know that you have the faith that he can do it, because he can. He already told us we have authority. So we need to have faith that we can do these things, and that things are all of our wants, needs, prayers are answered through him, because he knows.
That's exactly it. To know with confidence that these are the things that God desires to pour into your lap, running over in abundance.
Yeah.
These, when you ask for those things, that because truly this is what we want. It's not the riches we want. It's the joy and the light satisfaction we want. And we forget that we flip it. And rather than thinking, oh, riches will bring me happiness, I've worked with many human beings who have all the riches in the world and yet are completely empty inside, to the point of wanting to take their life. Yeah. And so the riches, as we know, don't bring you
riches?
That satisfaction.
What are two riches? Mm-hmm. Really, it's our health, our family, love. Those are the two riches that we have. The fact that we are born again Christians. Those are true riches. And we forget that. We forget we put these things, these shiny things in front of us, and we think that those are great things. And we also look, you know, another thing I think we need to do as Christians is stay in our lane and understand that God put us here for our works, not someone else's.
Mm-hmm.
So we stand
right,
our
exactly.
Lane.
Occupy, stay in your lane. And maybe that will be November's topic.
Yeah.
Write that down. Because staying in your lane, rather than wanting that which other people have, but to occupy the space that God has prepared for you to till, the land that he's prepared for you to occupy, because that's what causes envy and selfish ambition, which is the fuel, the scriptures say, for every disorder and every evil practice. Selfish ambition and envy is the fuel for every dissension, every disorder, and every evil practice. Those two things. So that's an excellent topic. We're coming to the end of our time end of our time today. Do you have any final thoughts before I give this incredible prayer?
I just pray that everyone gets on their knees today and asks about those things that you know are troubling you and you know that is affecting your life and the life God would have you live. You know that you have the authority to heal. Know that you have the authority to cast out demons. Know that you have the authority to heal, you know, even the sick and the shut-in. You have the authority under Jesus Christ. He gave you that. He is more powerful than anything else in this world. And just remember the scriptures. I encourage you to go over those scriptures and read those and get them in your heart so that you'll feel them.
Mm-hmm. So, again, the scriptures are Romans 7. Verses 15 through 25, Romans 7, 15 through 25, James 4, 13 through 17, Galatians 5, 16 through 26, and Stella, what did you have?
At Mark 1, 27, I also have Matthew 8, 16, I have, Ephesians, remember which one that was? I think that was Ephesians. Let me see. Hold on a second.
Six twelve.
All right.
And then 2 Chronicles 7:14 was the one: if my people who call on my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their fleshly ways, then I will hear. I'll hear from heaven. And so just understanding that's the space that God calls us into. So I'm prayer today from The Imitation of Christ by Thomas Kempis, and this has been a focus of mine for the last several weeks. And it's The Imitation of Christ, Thomas Kempis, and it's a prayer that's based on the one scripture that I read, that what is your life? You're a breath, you're a mist that appears for a moment. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, I will do this or that. So this is a simple grab-and-go technique that you can take moving forward into the rest of this month that just simply requires you to pause and to slip in these words before you do anything in your life. And I can assure you, I've been practicing this for several weeks now. It's extremely powerful. This is from Jesus' perspective in this book, and it says, my friend, speak about everything in this way. Lord, if it is pleasing to you, let this be done. Lord, if it is to your honor, let this be done in your name. Lord, if you see that it will help me, and if you judge it to be useful, then grant me this to use for your honor. But if you know it is to be harmful for me and of no help in saving my soul, then take this desire away from me.
Yeah.
So simply put, before you move forward, this is just a little practice that you can do to help stay in the Spirit, to give more authority to the Spirit, give your Spirit permission, the Holy Spirit permission to guide your flesh by simply pausing before you do anything. Lord, if it is pleasing for you before you go to bed, I pray that I would wake up seeking you first. When you wake up, Lord, if it is pleasing to you, this is what I put before you this day, and I pray for your favor. If it will bring you honor, I pray for success in this area. If it will strengthen my soul, then I pray for your favor and blessing in this way. If it is harmful to me, then I give you permission to take it away from me. So basically, by humbling yourself before any action or any opening of another section of your life, the next hour, the next minute, simply pause and slip in that humble authority, giving that over to God, and then taking the authority from God that he promises to you to be able to rebuke and flip the fleshly desires into the spirit, giving the spirit permission to override any baser emotions or character that will dilute your fullest expression in God through Christ Jesus.
Yes,
so
I love
with
the power of the cross, it's amazing. There's so many benefits in it.
It really is.
Thoughts and you can really focus. So that was amazing. Yeah, what's the name of the book again, Lauren? Share that.
It's called The Imitation of Christ by Thomas Kempis. I keep it right next to my Bible. It's falling apart because there's so much wisdom in it. The Imitation of Christ by Thomas Kempis. So Dr. Stella, why don't you close us in prayer today, and then we'll just go forth into the month of October and practice flipping our flesh out of the way and giving authority to the Spirit to guide us into all things.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we just come to you today with thanks and praise. We just want to thank you that you sit on the throne and that you are in control of all of this, Lord, and that you give us the faith to know that, Lord. We ask that you give us the power and let us know that we have the power and authority over principalities and powers and the evil one. We ask you that to be led by the Spirit constantly, Lord, that we know that if we're led by the Spirit and if we ask, you've already given it to us, Lord. We ask protection on all these listeners out here, Lord. We ask that they pull down the Bible study. And if they have questions, come to Lauren and I, or call to Jesus. Sit on your knees and go to Jesus. We ask that these scriptures that we gave today be embedded in their heart and that it makes change for the good of Jesus Christ and for all those around us. Lord, we thank you for protection, healing, authority, and just acknowledgement that we have that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Go give them heaven. Enjoy the rest of your month of October, and we will meet again in November. God bless you.